Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Tara.
All right, do not panic. Several of you contacted me on Facebook yesterday. Where are you?
At an undisclosed location.
Yes, an undisclosed location protected by a lot of law enforcement.
Yes.
Actually, I had a wonderful time yesterday, Lee, going through the sheriff's training. Went to the sheriff's training facility. I was out there with Patrick, who, by the way, I got to know Patrick yesterday. He's awesome.
Yes, he is.
Good hire on your part.
No, but you, actually, I can't completely take credit for that. Our operations manager was the gentleman who discovered him. So.
Cool. Well, we were both out there learning what it's like to have somebody put a gun in your face when you wear a badge. Now, I've done reporting on these for years and years. That's what I did in Charlotte for a long time. I was a crime reporter. So, I mean, I was knee deep in these police shootings for years, and I learned a lot more than the average person, you know, about what they face. And so I, you know, figured I wasn't going to learn much yesterday. And one of the things they teach you, and they taught this yesterday, was about the Tuller drill. It's a very famous exercise that was conducted by Sergeant Dennis Tuller of Salt Lake City, Utah Police Department. He wanted to find out how quickly an attacker with a knife could cover 21 feet. Because why he had a knife, why'd you shoot him? You know, you got a gun. That's not fair. Besides, he was standing over there. And they scientifically did this. It was published as an article in SWAT magazine, 1983. An attacker with a knife can cover 21 feet in 1.5 seconds. Mm-hmm. So if you shoot him at 10 feet, that's a good shot. Because that, you divide that in half, you're at less than a second, even in Common Core math.
Yeah.
And so. So, I mean, that's really dangerous. Somebody with a knife can hurt you. And people just don't understand. And so the scenarios they constructed yesterday were designed to show you that. And, you know, exactly. And one of the things that confuses people, too, is people get shot in the back. Right. They say, how could you do that? How could you shoot somebody in the back? That's just you being a bad police officer. Well, you know, and I pointed this out yesterday. I said, listen, in front of the law enforcement building in Charlotte, there is a statue. And it always moves me every time I saw it, of two police officers who were shot. They were chasing a suspect who was armed. They made the mistake of not shooting him in the back. He turned quickly. They both had their guns drawn, and he killed both of them.
Wow.
That's how fast you can turn and fire. I mean, think about it. If you can cover 21 feet with a knife in 1.5 seconds, how fast can you turn and fire a weapon?
Yeah.
Really fast. And I'm ashamed to admit, Lee, and I did get some razzing from my husband yesterday. I got killed on the range.
Yeah, but it's
by the attacker.
It was when you tased Patrick that we're just a little concerned this morning.
Because his metabolism's already high enough. You just don't want to tase Patrick or he'll fade away. But I'm out there, and so we're supposed to confront, you know, a person. We've been called to the scene. Okay. So and the premise of the first one, which I loved, was you know, would you shoot a mentally disturbed person, you know, when you've been called to the scene of somebody who wants to commit suicide? So the person's walking around, they got a gun to their head. You know, well, you wouldn't shoot a person like that. I mean, you would have to be crazy and something wrong with you as an officer, and probably racist besides, to do a kind of thing like that. And that was the thing that we had to confront, right? So we had to make a decision at what point are you going to draw on and maybe potentially shoot a person with a gun to their head? And it was fascinating to me. I lost. I got killed because I was thinking, well, I'll watch her hands. And as soon as she pulls the gun off her head, and we used real guns with bullets that were soap and dye, you know, but they hit hard enough that you still had to totally whatever. So I thought, okay, as soon as she pulls the gun away from her head, I'm going to shoot her. And we were going to analyze everybody's performance later, and I'm probably going to get flack for shooting a person who's threatening to commit suicide. I had my gun out and pointed at her. She was able to pull the gun off of her head where she had it pointed and shoot me center mass before I could pull the trigger. And boy, was that a learning moment. I felt like an idiot coming back to the classroom with my center mass shot. I got killed. I thought I'd be one of the ones who pulled the trigger too early. I didn't pull it fast enough. I made a deadly error. And then he asks, he asked me, so then she turns after she shoots me and she runs away. And you can literally see how split second it is. I failed. I messed up. I should have shot her. And she's running away. And he says to me, did she throw the gun when she was running? I said, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I did not see it. I have no idea if he did, if she did. Well, he went back and showed us she threw the gun. Two thirds of us didn't see it. And several people shot her in the back as she ran, which is the correct thing to do. She was trying to kill you. The suicide thing was just a ruse. So I didn't see the gun. And he said, listen, think about what it would be like if you were an officer. They ask you, did you see her throw the gun? Why'd you shoot her in the back? And you say, I didn't see her throw the gun. And they say, but there's video. Mm-hmm. So on your cam, why did you shoot her? You should have seen it. Well, everybody watching the video from the comfort and safety of their home, they can see the gun thrown. But boy, you get tunnel vision, even in a mock exercise like that, yeah. Lee. I didn't see her throw the gun. And, you know, I didn't shoot her because I was already technically dead and a little embarrassed about that. But, but a lot of people shot her in the back. They thought she still had the gun.
Right.
They didn't see her throw it. What an eye-opener that was. For me, I mean, that's going to change the way I cover things, I think, in the future. And I didn't think I'd be one of the ones affected by this. I thought I knew everything going in there, and I did not. So, you know, my conclusion, they were asking us at the end of it, what's your conclusion? I was like, I can't do this job. This is impossible. Just forget it. I mean, thank God you guys do. I can't do this. I throw my hands up. You know, whatever you do is wrong unless you choose to die.
Well, they do get a little bit more training than you've had, though, Tara.
They do.
But, yeah.
As he explained yesterday, all the training in the world won't
right.
make you see her throw that gun
right.
when you're in a life and death situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what happens, this is fascinating to me, is what happens is, this makes sense from a survival's perspective, you go tunnel vision when you're confronted with a deadly threat like that. We all do. And so the way your brain saves you is you hyper-focus on the threat. You don't see the small details like the gun falling as she runs. You don't see it, and you really don't see it, and it really changed my perspective. I think even further on what these guys face and gals face, and mm-hmm. how impossible that it is, in some ways, to do the right thing, even if you intend to. And then he explains, okay, well, for the ones who shot her in the back, she threw the gun. I mean, these are reporters, right?
Yeah.
And you know, you've watched the news around here. There's a pretty big liberal bent, right?
Pretty much.
These
yeah.
liberal reporters shot her in the back as she ran away, Lee.
Yep.
They shot her, and they didn't see the gun drop. It was brilliant. The range master got a bunch of liberal reporters to shoot a person in the back with a real gun, an unarmed person in the back with a real gun. It was masterful.
Yeah.
But it really proved the point. And I learned a lot, too. So I want to thank all the guys out there for a wonderful day. We did other things, too. We did the driving course. Which was terrifying. They could hear me screaming from across the course as the officer was going through it at full speed. I just don't do things like that real well. I hate roller coasters, and that was worse. But no, I had a great time yesterday. It was good, and I was so glad I went. It was time well spent.
Good.
So, and to all of the law enforcement officers out there, and so many of them listen to this station, thank God for you. Thank God for what you do. Thank God for so little pay. That you put yourself out the way that you do, because I did not, I came a lot closer to appreciating it and fully understanding it yesterday. I never fully will, but because I had protection and the weapons weren't real. Well, the weapons were real, but the bullets weren't. But I can't imagine facing that down.
Yeah. And as you pointed out, pay that is probably less than the average of what the rest of us make. And we don't risk our lives other than coming down 85. We don't risk our lives directly each day.
Yeah. And, you know, people say it's so stereotyped and trite, but, you know, you can't understand or you walk a day in my shoes. Well, mm-hmm. I did a little yesterday, and I understand a lot more.
You at least put the shoes on. You didn't have to run in them, but you put the shoes on.
I did not. So thank you to all of you so much from the bottom of my heart for what you do to keep us safe. And I'm just in awe that you continue to do it every day. Oh, I wish you could have been there with me yesterday. Oh, all of you. You'd have loved it. You would have loved it. Okay, so we're at the Law Enforcement Training Center, for those of you just tuning in. And I saw a beautiful thing. I wish I'd videoed it. I just didn't think to. I watched the guys out there get a bunch of liberal reporters, because do we have any other kind around here? Get a bunch of liberal reporters to shoot an unarmed woman in the back. Yeah. Took them about 3 minutes to do it once they got on the range. Isn't that amazing? You can sit and be a jet desk jockey and write headlines about how racist cops are, how dumb they are. I'm not accusing anyone personally of doing that in this market. I'm just saying in general, the media. You throw reporters on a range for 3 minutes and you can get at least half of them to shoot an unarmed woman in the back once that gun is in play. And they did yesterday. It was an amazing exercise. And once you broke down the fundamentals of it, you almost want to go, but wait, no, it wasn't different. It's not different than anything that any officer's ever been accused of. And what the scenario was this that we were facing. There were a couple of scenarios. This was the one that just really got to me because I realized what he was doing. He literally had formulated the whole thing, the guy who put all this together. I'm not going to get him in trouble, but can I get reporters to shoot an unarmed woman in the back? He did it in less than 3 minutes. It was astounding. So what it was a woman, it was a suicide situation. She had a gun to her head. She was hysterical. 911 is called. She comes out. Okay, you see a gun, you're an officer. You can be shot with said gun. I would ask you this question. How would you feel about an officer who shot an unarmed suicidal woman in the back as she ran away? How would you feel about a person like that? They're probably in the wrong, right? And just looking around the room, it was little more than half the reporters shot her in the back and she was unarmed. Why? They didn't see her drop the gun when she ran. She was right there. She wasn't across the field. She was right in front of us. We didn't see it. I didn't see it. But what was most astonishing to me about it, and I finally, after all these years, understood the double murder of two police officers. I covered it, and I never fully understood it. Just many years ago, you could see their statues in front of the Law Enforcement Center if you ever visit Charlotte, one of the prominent landmarks downtown. And what had happened that night was they were arresting a guy. It was 2-on-1. And he got away from them. And he got away from them before they could fully frisk him. And so he's running, and they're running after him, right? She went, and he was black, by the way. Can't shoot a black man in the back. She can't shoot anybody in the back, really. It's not acceptable anymore. And he turned as he was running, and he shot them both dead. They had their weapons drawn. I've always been amazed by that. Okay, I can see how he got the first one, because I know how fast you can turn. Less than a second. I never understood how he shot the second one. Didn't he see the first guy get shot and react? No, that's how fast it went. And I was in that exact situation yesterday, and I got shot. I got killed. At least that got shot center mass. I don't know. Maybe they could have saved me. And it was a woman who was suicidal. She had a gun to her head. It was a sheriff's deputy was playing a role. And she had a gun to her head. And so we weren't told, watch her hands. So in my mind, okay, the second she takes the gun off her head, I'm shooting her. It's done. But as long as the gun's pointed at her head, we're okay. She was able to move her gun from her head and shoot me so fast. Even with my gun drawn and pointed at her, I couldn't react quickly enough to save myself. What do you do now? How do you legislate that one? There's only one way we can legislate that for political correctness, and that is to tell the officer he has to die or she has to die or take that bullet. There is no other way to go. I couldn't pull the trigger fast enough to counter her. And that was a real learning lesson. I now understand why those two officers are dead. I understand how fast it goes. It goes so fast. And boy, when even in a mock situation, we had real guns in our hands. And again, we had bullets that, that hit hard enough that we had to have protected gear on them. It was basically soap and dye. And just even that, just even the simulation of real shooting. A little over half the reporters in the room shot her in the back as she ran away. Most didn't see her drop the gun. Wow. Now, are you going to armchair quarterback? What happens after a police officer does something? Well, I'm going to think a little harder next time I do it. Even me. It's a great learning lesson. It's also a great lesson for you, just if you use your gun for self-defense, you encounter somebody to remember how fast it happens and to think about that if you're ever in a deadly situation. Texter writes, if it's a suicide case, remind the person to take the safety off. Problem solved. Jeez. There's always a wise guy on the text line. Holy cow. Okay. Texter writes, Terry, you learned the basic premise of police survival. Action is quicker than reaction. Texter writes, the one who acts first usually wins regarding firearms. It's very hard to explain to people how quick things happen. Boy, do I understand now. You want to text in your reaction on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line. The number is 71307. Love to hear from law enforcement. Texter writes, Terry, you were in a mock situation. Just imagine if it were a true situation, your experience would have been more extreme. I think in a true situation, we'd have all shot her in the back. Texter writes, good morning, Tara. Tara, I woke to find myself reveling in my white privilege and oozing toxic masculinity. It's going to be a great day. So says Jack and Taylor's. Good morning, Jack. Texter writes, my husband gave me a kiss on the way out the door the other day. And you ever kiss somebody and for some reason the like electricity snaps like to the point it hurts? I said, oh, honey, it's your toxic masculinity. Oh, good. All right. Anyway, Texter writes, Tara, interesting comment about getting tunnel vision. Found it interesting that in a life or death situation, the majority of people's tunnel vision was focused on a person as a threat and not the gun. Yes, it makes sense. Think about that. That would be evolutionary. We haven't had guns for long in human history. You would have had to watch body language before to see if he was going to throw the spear or she. Giving more credibility to the saying, guns don't kill people. People do. Yeah. Yeah. Amen to that. All right. Coming up. You want some good news? I got some good news. This is going to fire you up this morning. I love stuff like that. A foreign newspaper admits Trump is rocking it. Trump is rocking it economically. And no other economy on earth is rocking it as economically as Trump's is. And that because he's not listening to his critics, he's winning. You're going to love this. Up next. A lot of you texted in on that Greenville County Sheriff's exercise yesterday. They were able to get a little over half the reporters who went through the simulation training of what officers face to shoot an unarmed woman in the back. God, they had to laugh when we left. And I mean that in the nicest way. They were the nicest people, but you had to just chuckle. I mean, I'm sure they've done this before. It takes them less than 3 minutes to get a reporter to shoot an unarmed woman in the back. They did it yesterday. I watched it. This is the same thing the national media constantly faults officers for doing. Yet when you're in the situation, it makes perfect sense. Most people in the room didn't see her drop the gun when she ran. I didn't get a chance to shoot her in the back because she killed me. I didn't shoot fast enough. Which, believe me, when I went home after the simulation, I had to tell my husband, Rambo Loco, why I had green bullet stains on center mass on my shirt. He's like, you got killed. Oh. Which only reinforced his home safety. You know he has a home safety plan. Do you have this? Ladies, does your husband make you practice this like every 3 months? No, we have a drill. I've got to know where all the guns are in the house. I got to be able to get them out of the safes. I have to do it fast. And the number one thing he tells me, because he's seen me on the range with my accuracy and all, my job is to get the gun and hand it to him. I am not to use it. He's afraid I'll shoot him instead of the responder, instead of the perp. Anyway, a lot of folks are still responding to that online. Texter writes, the same situation happened to me and my soldiers in Ramadi, Iraq, back in 2003 through 2005. Civilians would try to move the dead bodies in the middle of a firefight and would get shot. We were automatically guilty of murder. Sounds fair, huh? Yeah, because how are you supposed to know they're not pretending to move the body, but they want to kill you? Our rules of combat. I am so sorry to those of you who had to serve under that. It was so wrong. Yeah, and most of them came from the Bush administration and were carried on by the Obama administration, so we can't even blame Obozo. Anything so the Bush people would look like fine, upstanding citizens at the wine and cheese party. Even if it meant you getting carried out in a body bag, I'm sorry about that. Thank you for your service. Texter writes, good morning, Tara. I've often heard that men do not have any say in women's reproductive health, and any correlating rights. With that logic, no person should have any say in my gun rights if they do not own or operate guns of their own. Well, thank you for your text this morning. By the way, if you want to join in the hottest conversation in the upstate, you can text the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307, or call me, 800-347-1063. That's the Ingalls Advantage talk line, 800-347-1063. I love this, and I've done it in every other hour, but this one, I want you to hear it. From the Canadian National Post. Yes. The Canadian National Post, one of the big dailies in Canada. This comes to us, an analysis of President Trump. You want to hear this? And the way that he has altered forever, perhaps, the playing field of politics. A casual sampler of the Canadian and even the American media, might think that the U.S. was so far along in its decline that the entire process of government, normal public discourse had broken down in that country, and that the much-discussed process of national decline was accelerating in a climate of virtual chaos. A pretty good description of the coverage of Trump. Actually, says the National Post, no. Nope. Nope. No. In the 8 years of President Obama, the United States lost 219,000 manufacturing jobs. In the 2 years of Trump, the country has added 477,000 manufacturing jobs. This is not supposed to be possible. And this time, unlike in the great Reagan boom, it cannot be dismissed by the left as a profusion of hamburger flippers, dry cleaners, and people delivering pizza. It is clear that China is feeling the heat of American tariffs. You'll never get this level of honesty in our media. You won't get it. You just won't get it. It is clear that China is feeling the heat of American tariffs. Their magnificent hypocrisy of gambling in a $380 billion trade surplus with the United States while extorting technology from American companies and reducing American high-tech giants like Apple and Google to sniveling on China's behalf when their sales in that country are reduced, and all the while leading the G77 in cupped hands request for relief from the economically most advantaged countries for their pollution of the world environment. All of it is ending. The United States will not be the world's premier chump anymore. The most enthusiastic support the United States is receiving in its trade stance with China is from China's neighbors, India, from India to Japan. Yeah, they've been menaced by China for years. They love it. Did you know that? Did you know that they love it? They love what Trump is doing with China and the trade stuff? That it has pulled us closer to those countries? No, you didn't know that. They like to keep you stupid. They keep their own followers stupid, and it makes them very, very angry when they can't dupe you too. But in Japan and in India, where they don't have a mainstream media that operates like the Politburo, and they can see their own good, the best for the world and free markets coming out of Trump's negotiations with China, they love it. Did you know they loved it? Did you know they were happy with it? No. They like to keep you dumb. And finally, a development the Canadian National Post calls astounding. The economy of the United States is astoundingly strong. Full employment, an expanding workforce, negligible inflation, and about 3% economic growth. And it is a broad economic recovery, not based on service industries as in the United Kingdom, where London handles most of Europe's financial industry, while most of British industry has fled. And not based largely on the fluctuating resource markets as has often been Canada's experience. In the 8 years of President Obama, again, the U.S. has lost 219,000 manufacturing jobs. In 2 years of Trump, the company has added 477,000. Was never supposed to happen again. It did. So that's the take of the Canadian National Post. That's what's going on. Did you ever hear that here? Hear anything like that here? No? That's strange. Yep, when you got to go overseas or to other countries or read other countries' media to figure out what is actually going on here. All right, meantime, Beto O'Rourke. It's Beto. Yeah, so we can sound more Hispanic. Beto O'Rourke. Because he's hip, you know, he's hot. He rides a skateboard. And he's handsome. He's good looking. And he looks good in a ball cap. He's hip. He's cool. So we should run him for president, says the Democrats. Well, what does he really stand for? I can remember. I worked in liberal newsrooms for years. I did not agree with those people. But I can remember a time when what Beto just said would have outraged them. I really can't. They were big free speech people about 15 years ago. I know. I worked with them. I worked with the most radical of them at Creative Loafing. I was the only conservative at a left-wing paper, and boy, were they left-wing. They made their Charlotte Observer look right-leaning. And they would not have been down with this then, but they are now on the left. Listen to this. Did you see Beto O'Rourke suggesting that the Constitution is no longer relevant? That they're just some principles set down 230-plus years ago? And that we really need to overturn them, some of them, because it's just not hip. I mean, the Founding Fathers didn't wear skateboards or ball caps, and so we got to move on. Well, you know, I heard this yesterday, and I wondered, which of our rights is Beto proposing we give up? Notice he didn't say free speech, because it's cool when the government tells you what you can't say. How about our privacy and freedom from search and surveillance by the government under the Fourth Amendment? Because, you know, it's hip when the government can bust into your home for any reason or spy on you with no warrant. Ask Trump how that worked out for him. How about maybe Beto meant we should give up our right to hold meetings and assemblies without government interference, because it's hip to need government approval before you can meet. Everybody's doing it. You're going to love that. Or maybe Beto meant we should give up our right to practice or not practice a religion, because religious crackdowns, like in China, are hip and they're really fun. You're going to love them. Or perhaps Beto meant we should lose all these rights. Our gun rights. Listen, you lose any of those rights and you will live in a totalitarian society. And I don't know what's so cool about any of that. Texter writes, is it possible the training exercise yesterday was structured to favor cops? Well, yeah, that was the point. It was to put reporters in a situation and see how long it took them before they shot an unarmed woman in the back. And they were able to get a little over half of them to do it. And it was the right thing to do because she tried to kill every one of us. She shot me before I was able to shoot her, so shame on me. Texter writes, forget the liberal O'Rourke. Explain Trump's AG nominee Bill Barr, and his past belief in gun registration. Oh, that's only that's just the beginning of it. I mean, folks, I can't. I cannot explain this. I would like to explain it. I cannot. I am baffled by what Trump has done here. It is incomprehensible what Trump has done here. I always defend, you know, I love Trump. But this... Oh, I was glad I didn't have to be on the air Wednesday. It took me a full day to calm down after watching that hearing, confirmation hearing for Bill Barr. I don't know if Trump's getting bad advice or what. Listen, when you hire somebody from Team Bush, this is what you get. I mean, this is who they are. I mean, I heard James Comey's a great guy. Dude. It's been less than 2 months since James Comey perjured himself the most recent time before Congress. I mean, did Bill Barr not see those hearings? You know, the ones where James Comey said, oh, yeah, I had no idea if the dossier was real or not when I did the FISA warrant application, signed my name to it. I didn't know. Oh, because you signed the FISA warrant application under penalty of perjury. It says it right there on the application, under penalty of perjury. That the information in this application has been verified. Perjury. That's a crime. It's a felony, actually. Carries a max of 5 years in prison. He admitted under oath to perjury. I guess Bill Barr missed that. Z was telling us what a wonderful and amazing man that Comey was. Mueller. Oh, Mueller. Mueller is a great guy. You know, I was trying to figure something out. I'm not often baffled. But I've been baffled the last couple of weeks. I can't figure out whose side Lindsey Graham's on. I mean, I know he's mostly on Lindsey Graham's side, right? Because he's facing re-election. But he has been a little bit protective of Trump lately. And so Lindsey Graham comes out and says, well, you know, I sat down with Bill Barr, who is, of course, Trump's nominee to head the Department of Injustice. And he said, you know, Bill Barr is best friends with Robert Mueller. You know that, right? I mean, you know, like they've been to each other's kids' weddings. They go to the same church. Their wives are in ladies' prayer group together. You know, and did Bible study together. They've been friends for like 2 decades. What? I mean, was Lindsey Graham trying to warn Trump? Because he seemed stunned about it. And I got to tell you at this point, I'm going to tell you what Bill Barr's going to do. The Department of Justice is currently stonewalling subpoenas from Congress. They are also stonewalling legitimate judge-ordered FOIA requests from our courts. That's right. They are stonewalling legal, legitimate court orders for information. That's illegal, but nobody cares when the Department of Injustice does it. I would bet you the entire contents of my 401k, double or nothing, that when Bill Barr goes across the street and he takes over that Justice Department, the stonewalling, which is illegal, will continue. Criminality will continue. Why would Trump do this? I mean, shoot. Just don't appoint anybody. Leave the seat vacant. Let the guy there now run it. I mean, this is like a cement truck coming at you and people are screaming, Trump, get out of the way, get out of the way. And he's like, no, it's fine. I know the guy driving. And the guy driving isn't braking. And when you got mowed down by that cement truck, at some point, you can't feel real sorry for Trump anymore. Like, I can't think of anybody worse than this, except for maybe like a convicted criminal to run the Department of Justice. I'm baffled. I got nothing for it. And that never happens. I got nothing. I don't understand.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.